My name is Barry Ferguson. I'm on faculty here in mathematics, and we're going to spend some time, well, we're going to start out talking about linear equations and look at ultimately systems of linear equations. And maybe in a couple of weeks we'll digress from linear equations and start looking at some systems of equations that aren't linear. So just to get started, I have a sheet with some definitions, not all of which we'll need tonight.
We might need them all, we just don't know.
Okay, so linear equations, as their name suggests, when you hear the word linear, what do you think about? A line. And that's not wrong, yes? Right, we think of a linear equation in our, in what you've seen so far, which what you would think as a line. And you may even have seen equations that represent lines on a graph. So the problem with that definition is that if we take an equation, can you give me the equation of just any old equation of any line in the plane?
Y equals 2x plus b.
Y equals 2x plus b, or to be specific, 2x plus 6 maybe. Okay? Right, so that's a linear equation in two variables, right? Y and X, two things that we don't know. And we think of that, geometrically, we think of that as being a straight line. And we can take, well, you tell me, how do we just, if we wanted to draw the graph of that equation, what do?
On that, well, first we would start with hit B, which would, in your case, be 6,
right,
as the offset, and so we would start with y equal to 6.
Yes.
And then we would use the 2, representing m, to,
right,
to decide on the slope.
Right.
And so the slope would be 2 over 1, or 2.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's one way. Another way that we could get the picture of what that line would look like?
Yep.
You just say like
y is 1 and then you solve for x, and then y is 2 and you solve for x, and then you just...
So if you had a couple of points on the line, draw them on our grid and connect them, okay? And how many points do we need?
Two.
We only need 2 to define the line, but then we probably get a third just to make sure that we've got the right line. But we only need 2 to define the line. Now, so that's straightforward, and that's linear equations in the plane are lines. Their graphs are lines. Now, when we go beyond two dimensions, in other words, we get more than two variables, the same structure of an equation doesn't give us a line anymore. It gives us something else. It gives us a plane. Right? Now, we're not going to do a whole lot of the geometry of planes and that sort of thing, but just so you know that when we get beyond two variables, we don't get, with a similar sort of equation, we don't get a line, we get something else. In three variables, that gives us a plane. So, for example, R3, we're going to define that in a minute, is the space, can be looked at as the space we live in. So there would be an equation which defines the floor. There would be another equation in three variables, x, y, and z, which define the ceiling, one for each wall, and we could talk about various other structures. Okay. So we're going to use a slightly different definition. It means the same, and in two variables it comes down to exactly what you've all told me. Something of the form y equals mx plus b, or ax plus by equals c, or some other of the standard forms that you've probably seen. Right? So as it says on the top of that sheet, a linear equation is an equation in which all of the variables have exponent 1. So we don't normally write the exponent 2x plus y equals 4 would be an example, which you've seen, and you know that we can rewrite this in a variety of different ways. That's a linear equation in two variables. So So we don't have an x squared or an x cubed or an x to the 14th or anything like that. We also don't have a square root or any other root. Those aren't linear. Now, this is where we're going to depart slightly from perhaps the way you've seen things before. Suppose we take this equation, the 2x plus y equals 4. And if I give you that and I say, give me a solution, what does that mean?
That x and y go under the circumstance in which
2x
plus y equals 4?
Right. I want to find two real numbers, x and y, that satisfy that equation. So how many solutions are there to that equation? Infinite. Give me any x you want. I can find a y.
One.
Okay. So for example, well, let's try that. If I put y, x equals 1, what's y?
2.
Yeah. Okay, so, and you've got this in the general sense, a solution to a linear equation is an ordered n tuple. It's coming this way. There we go. And now that's just a generalized term. So for an example like this, it's an ordered pair. But if we have three variables, then it would be an ordered triple or three tuple. If we had four, it would be an ordered quadruple or four tuple. That's just a short form for however many things. Right? Satisfy simply means it makes it a true statement. If I take those two values and substitute them for x and y, it makes it a true statement. If I put in x equals 1 and y equals 17, it's not a true statement. Because 2 times 1 plus 17 is equal to 19, not 4. Okay? So that's what satisfies means. It makes it a true statement. So as someone said, 1, 2 is a solution. Let's see if we can find a few more.
2, 0.
2, 0, yes. Let's get 3 or 4 more. Yep.
0, 4.
0, 4, yep. Those are the easy ones.
4, negative 4.
4, negative 4, very good. Now all of the answers you've given me so far are integer coefficients or integer values. Do they have to be integers?
No.
What would y be if it's a half? 3. So a half and 3. So we could go on all night, right? We could go on a lot longer than that. How long could we go on until we wrote down all the solutions?
Eternity.
All of eternity?
Yeah, eternity, right? It's like saying I'm going to count until I reach the end of the integers. You may not know what to call it anymore, but you'll never get to the end, right? You can keep going. Okay, so we've got infinitely many solutions, if we're just thinking about this. We don't typically think about it that way. You just say we've got infinitely many points that satisfy the equation, and if we draw their picture, that gives us a straight line. That's absolutely correct. Can we find a way to write a general solution to this? Can I write down an ordered pair so that if I make a single value substitution, I get a solution? We can choose to let x just be x. And then what we want to do is express y.
It would be easier just to y equals 4 minus 2x.
Well, that would give me, that would be, you mean rewrite the equation. Because if I tell you what x is, then this is a valid form. These two are equivalent. If I tell you what x is, you immediately substitute in, you can calculate y. So I could give you the solution this way, and I could actually write it in a different way, slightly different way. There's a set of solutions, so if I write it this way, that's just set builder notation. It says that the set of all x comma 4 minus 2x such that x is a real number. That's the entire set of solutions for that equation. Just another way to write down the line, if you will. Some people will call this the general solution. Now we're only talking about one equation here, but you can think of one equation as a system of linear equations. We're going to talk more about those later. And this is what we would call the general solution. Sometimes we call it a parametric solution. And we call x a parameter here. All that means is it's some variable, and we could change it. Some people would change it and put in a t and 4 minus 2t for t being any real number. But you don't need to do that. You can use x or y, whichever is appropriate. And this then gives me the set of all solutions, right? So we let y or x, depending on which one, range over all real numbers, and those are all solutions. Or in other words, all the points that would be on the line if we graphed it. Okay? So now we can extend that a little bit. Suppose we now look at a linear equation with 3 variables. Now that is not a line if we graphed it. It gives us a plane, a surface like the floor, situated somehow in 3 space. So we can look at this just as we looked at the other one and say, what's a general solution to this equation? So in absolute generality, a solution would be what? Over there we had an ordered pair of real numbers. What are we looking for if we want a solution here? An ordered triple, or 3 real numbers which satisfy the equation. Well, how do you go about finding a solution if I just want a particular solution?
You have to get all the numbers.
Right? How do you do that?
You start out by giving x, y, or z an integer.
Right.
And then...
Does it have to be an integer?
No.
So you give it a value.
Yeah, the value. And then the rest, you have to give another number. And then the third one, you have to make it.
Right. So just as over here, in the 2 variable case, to get a solution, you pick the value for x or y, put it into your equation, and calculate the other one. Okay? When you've got 3 variables, though, if you want a single solution, you actually have to give values to 2 of the variables. Giving it to just 1 isn't enough, because you've still got 2 variables. If I give x a particular number and rearrange it, I'm basically back to what I had over here. 2 variables in an equation. So to get a solution for that, I have to give another variable a value, right? So if I have 3 variables then and 1 equation, to find a solution, I have the freedom, in fact, to find a solution, I must give 2 variables values. Doesn't matter which 2, and then just calculate what the third has to be to make it work. So if I had a linear equation with 4 variables, how would I find a particular solution? A set of 4 numbers would satisfy it. Yeah?
You set any value for 3 of the variables.
That's right. Put numbers in for 3 of the variables and calculate what the fourth one has to be. If I had a linear equation with 18 variables in it and I wanted a particular solution, what would I have to do?
17
and 1. Put in 17 values and calculate the 18. Right? So to find the solution for a linear equation, for find a particular solution, a set of numbers that works, you have to give values to all but 1 of the variables, and then calculate the last one. Okay. And it doesn't matter how many variables there are. If it's 1 equation, that's what you need to do. Now, can we find a way to rewrite this something similar to the solutions that we gave over there? Now keep in mind what we just said. We have to give values to 2 of the variables. All right? So let's look at the general solution. Which 2 variables do you want to give values to?
X and Y.
X and Y. So she's going to give values to X and Y. So those are the ones that we're going to pick. So I'm just going to write them down, right? See over here, in the first case, we decided that we were going to give the value to x, and so we wrote y in terms of it. As we've discussed, Here, to find a particular solution, I need to give values to two of the variables. So then, what am I going to put in the third spot? Yeah?
17 minus x minus 2y over 3.
Right. So we just rearrange this to isolate the one that we want. So this will be 17, we'll subtract x, subtract 2y, and then divide the whole thing by 3. And there's the entire set of solutions. Now, we could decide to give values to two of the other, to a different pair of variables. How many different ways could we do that? As in, how many different ways are there to pick two things from three?
Three
ways, right? So I could write down two more forms of my general solution. So let's see. Now, you wouldn't need all three. You only need one. But just to illustrate, suppose we decided to give values to x and z. What do I write for y?
17 minus x minus 3z divided by 2.
And the other case, I would put in y and z. And what would I write for x in that?
Minus 2y minus 3z plus 17.
Right. So in this case, my general solution has two parameters. In order to get a particular solution, I have to define values for two things. And I can choose which parameterization I want. And that might depend on the problem that I'm looking at. Okay? So that's the basic idea. Now, later when we look at systems, we'll see that similar things can happen. But right now, I just have a few questions that you can play around with for a few minutes. So on the front it says some examples in R2, so that means two variables. Now the first one only has one variable. So what does that mean? Someone back in this general area, tell me what that means. Yeah? Maybe, but if I think about it as a two variable equation, even though there's no y in it, what does it mean? What does it say about y? No, not quite. Does that equation x equals 3 say anything about y? No, right? If you think about that as an equation in two variables and there's no y there, it's not telling you anything about y. It's not putting any restriction on y. It says y can be anything it wants to be. So give me a solution to in two variables to x equals 3.
Three, two.
Would be an example of a solution to that first one in two variables. Another.
3, 1.
3 infinity.
3. Yeah, right. Infinity is not a number, though. Infinity is a concept. So technically, we can't really give that. Another solution. 3 pi. I like
5.
3 pi. 3 and root 17 over 37. 3 and any number you want. As long as the x, the first one, the 3, you can put any number you want. Any real number you want. Second, okay. What does that look like? What's the graph of x equals 3 look like? Yeah.
It's a vertical line.
It's a vertical line, right? Through 3 on the x-axis. Just goes up. So all the points there have x-coordinate 3, y-coordinate. Any number you want, you can find it. Okay, so all I want you to do here is just to write down 3 or 4 solutions to each. And then see if you can state the general solution choosing your choice. There is no single right answer. You could all have different answers and all be right. Okay, for x equals 3, we did a whole bunch of examples. So you can write down whichever ones you want, but as long as 3 is first, right? No matter what you do, as long as the first one is 3 and the other one's a real number, that's fine. There's really only one way to parameterize this because the x is fixed, right? So the only real way to do this is to write down, it's all ordered pairs of the form 3y such that y is a real number. That's just another way of writing that. You can't really get a second one because there's no freedom in x. It must be 3. If you had any freedom in x at all, you could write a different parameterization, but you can't in this case. So give me a couple of ordered pairs for x plus y equals 3. No, 1.
3, 0.
3, 0.
1, 2.
1, 2.
1 half and 2 and a half?
Yep.
Negative
6,
positive
9. 6, positive 9, good. All right, and we could go on all night, but we're not going. All right. So a parameterization of this, or a general solution, if I choose my values for x, what do I put in for the y component, for the y coordinate?
Okay.
3 minus x. And if I chose to put my y in, what's 3 minus y? Okay? Okay, for the third one, 2x plus 7y equals 18. We have a couple of solutions. 2, 2. Yep.
9, 0.
9, 0. I'll pick the simple one. One more.
5 and a half and 1.
5 and a half and 1. How about a general solution? Again, there's only two choices.
Okay. X and 18 minus 2x all over 7.
So the idea is very simple. If we choose x as the one that we're going to substitute the value for, we just rearrange the equation to tell me what the other one is in terms of x. So in this case, y is equal to 18 minus 2x divided by 7. In the second one, if I choose y to be the value that I'm going to pick, so in other words, it's my parameter, I have to express x in terms of y. And so that would simply be 18 minus 7y divided by 2. A couple of points for this one.
4, 2.
4, 2.
Minus 8, 0.
Minus 8, 0.
Negative 2, 1.
Negative 1 and 1 and a 6.
7, 6. So if we wanted to write the parameterized version, again, there are two choices. The procedure is fairly straightforward. If I decide that x is my parameter, I have to rearrange the equation so I get y equals something, and that's what I put in for y. So what do I get in this case? If x is my parameter, I rearrange this so it says y equals something. So negative 4 plus or minus a half x all divided by negative 3, or if I could have rearranged it a slightly different way to take some of the negative signs out if I want, right? So I could write it like this, negative 4 minus a half x all over negative 3, or I could simplify that. I've got a factor of negative 1 in both the numerator and the denominator. So I'm going to write 4 plus 1 half x all over 3. And of course, you could simplify that too.
For the y,
probably I would write it as negative 8 plus 6y. So if we look at the back side of that page, we have four equations in R3, so in 3 variables, and then the last one's in 4 variables. And basically, do the same thing. So in the first couple of cases, yes, sir.
I got all the general forms.
Okay, well, give me the first one.
Okay, I got to think for the first one. So it would be x, y, b minus x minus y.
Okay, so there's the general forms in the first case. Again, if you just want one, you just choose the one that you wish. No one is more correct than the others. And if you're just looking for a particular solution, you'd have to pick two values and substitute in to get the other one. So, not the general solution, just give me a solution to this one. Just a particular solution. The second one, let's go on to the second one.
3, 3, 3.
There's an ordered triple, yeah?
4, 1, negative 1.
4, 1, negative 1. Yeah.
2, 2, 0.
2, 2, 0. An easy way to find a solution, since you have to choose values for two variables, is to set two of them equal to 0. It won't always be an integer, but if you set these two to 0, you get 9, 0, 0.
if you set the first and the second one to 0, then the third would have to be negative 6. And if you set x and z to 0, you get 18 sevenths. Just as when you're graphing a line in R2 or in the plane, the fast way to get 2 points is to let x be 0, find out what y is, and then let y be 0, find out what x is. Same thing here. If you just want a point, that's the fast way to do it. Now, I'm not going to write down all the parameterizations here, but give me one.
And then 18 minus 7y plus 3az.
Careful. No, 18 minus 7y plus 3z, but that's 2x.
All right, over 2.
Okay, so there's 1.
Oh, x. And then all negative 2x plus 3y plus 18 over 7z.
So the next one, y equals 3, that's kind of like the first one on the other side where we had x equals 3. We got y equals 3. So,
well, give me a particular solution.
13, 3, 7.
As long as the middle one's a 3, it doesn't matter what the other two are, right? Anything you want. So what's the general solution?
Yeah.
X.
Okay. And again, in this case, since the value of y is fixed, you can't change it. It doesn't depend on x or y or x or z. It just has to be 3. That's the only way. There's no restriction on x and z, right? The equation doesn't say anything about x and z, which says x and z can be anything they want, which tells you right away that that's the parameterization. This one is very similar to the others. Let's not spend a lot of time. Give me a solution, a particular solution.
0, 0, 0. 0, 0, 0.
We'll come back to that. That's known as the trivial solution to an equation. If the constant term in a linear equation is 0, so the term that doesn't have a variable associated, if it's 0, then the solution, the n-tuple with all zeros, is trivially a solution, right? There's others, but that is a solution, okay? That's an example of what we call a homogeneous. Now, homogeneous comes up in many different ways in mathematics, but that's when we talk about a homogeneous linear equation, it means the constant term is 0. Okay? Yeah?
34, 0, negative 1.
Yeah. That would work. And a parameterization.
X, y, negative 1 half x plus 2 y over 7.
Okay, and of course there are two others that you could write down. This last one has 4 variables. And a parameterization, the easiest one is probably 42 minus 2x minus 3y minus 4z, xyz. Now, again, there'd be 3 more that you could do by isolating each one separately. Okay, so what we're going to do next is start looking at stuff that some of you I know have already seen, but a linear equation isn't all that exciting all by itself. So what we like to do is start putting them together into systems. And as I think I defined in the first page, a system of linear equations is simply one or more linear equations taken together. And then a solution is simply an ordered n-tuple satisfies all of the equations in the system. Now, when we look at the first few, if you've done this before, you have ways of doing it which sort of disguise what we're doing. But I want to talk about, before we start looking at them, this idea of an elementary operation. When we have a system of linear equations, and your experience, if you have any with this, will be typically with 2 equations and 2 unknowns, 2 variables. And you may have looked at substitution or elimination or even comparison as ways of solving those things. But all of them revolve around these elementary operations. It's just that in a 2 by 2 situation, 2 equations, 2 unknowns,
we sort of disguise it because it's relatively trivial. Okay, there's not a whole lot to it. But essentially, if I give you a whole list of equations in some number of variables, it doesn't matter. There are three operations which we are allowed to do which will preserve the solution. And of course, that's what we're interested in, right? We preserve the solution. We want to keep, whenever we change the system, we don't want to change the solution. Otherwise, we've messed everything up, right? Finding a solution to something that doesn't relate to the original equations is no good to us. And there are three things that we can do, and I'm going to just state them without any sort of proof, but three things that we're allowed to do if we have this list of equations. Three operations. And we can do them each as many times as we want, as long as we keep track of what we're doing. So if we have a list, and the first one's obvious. If I write down my three equations, 1, 2, 3, it doesn't really matter if I wrote them in that order. I could have written the one that I wrote last first. I could have written them in any order I want. It doesn't change the equation. So I'm allowed to change the position in my list of any two. And I can do that as many times, which basically says I can rearrange them any way I want. Okay? But the elementary operation is to interchange two of them in the list. Then I can multiply any equation in the list by any non-zero constant. And if you've ever done equations with fractions in, you've done that. You've multiplied through by something to get rid of the fractions, to make life a little simpler. Okay? That's a valid operation. That's an elementary operation. And the other one, which if you've done some solution of systems of two equations and two unknowns, or more than that, you can add a multiple of one equation to another. And actually, we can disguise that. And we often say, well, we can add a multiple of this equation to a multiple of this equation, multiply them both. But essentially, that's wrapping two elementary operations into one, which doesn't really matter a whole lot for what we're going to do, because it's still fine. But essentially, what you've done is multiply one equation by a constant and then added a multiple of another to it. So, but that's splitting hairs. We'll come back and look at that in a bit more detail, but the first few are fairly straightforward. So let's just take a couple minutes and look at, say, 1 through 4, and we'll come back and discuss what you find. Okay, so you may not have seen this before, but if you haven't, follow along and we'll look at a couple of ways we can do this. Thinking about those elementary operations, I can add the two equations together, but that's just adding one times an equation to another. So if I add equation 1 plus equation 2, so I just simply add them up. So I'm adding the x's to the x's, the y's to the y's, and the constants to each other. So here I get 3x, y plus negative y would be 0y, equals 9, which tells me that x equals 3. And now I can substitute that back into either of the first equations. If I want to be very careful, I can substitute it into both and see that I get the same answer. So if I substitute it into 1, so I get 2 times 3 plus y equals 8. So y is equal to 8 minus 6 equals 2. Right? So my solution is 3, 2. And again, you can easily check. Now, you could choose to do this a different way. You could take either equation and isolate one of the variables. So since in each of these, y has coefficient 1 or negative 1, so it's easy to rearrange. Here I could rearrange for x, but then I'd have to multiply by 2, so I won't do that. So it says that y equals x minus 1. I could now substitute this. If I do that, then I get 2x plus x minus 1 equals 8, so 3x equals 9, x equals 3, etc. Okay? In fact, both of them are just disguised versions of doing exactly the same thing, essentially. Okay? There is a third way that you may or may not see. You could rearrange this to say y is equal to 8 minus 2x, and this one to say y is equal to x minus 1, and then set 8 minus 2x equal to x minus 1, and you get the same answer. Surprise, surprise. The basic idea, though, is that we'll add the two equations together, or we'll add some multiple of one of them to the other one, to try to get rid of a variable. What happened here was the y's disappeared. So that's sort of the basic premise of what we want to do. We want to try and add a multiple of one equation to the other so that one of the variables disappears. Okay? That's essentially what we want to do. And that's why this is called the method of elimination. We're eliminating one of the variables. So over here, if I look at the next one, I look at the x's in the two equations, they both have the coefficient 2. So if I subtract, or in other words, add negative 1 times one of the equations to the other, or if you want, just subtract as they are, I know that the x term will disappear. I won't have an x term. But in this particular case, the y's also have the same coefficients. They're both 3s. So the y terms are going to disappear. So let's just see what happens. So if I take equation 1 and subtract equation 2, so I get 0x, I'm going to write everything down. I get 0y, and I get 8 minus negative 16. What's 8 subtract negative 18, sorry? 6 plus 18, which is 24. But of course, this is impossible, right? No matter what numbers I put in for x and y, 0 times x plus 0 times y is going to be 0. Right? It will never equal 24. What's this telling me?
That there's no solution to this equation?
There are no points or ordered pairs, x, y, that satisfy both equations. There aren't any. There's no solution. If we drew them, they're parallel lines. And of course, you can see that. Right? You've got 2x plus 3y in both of them, and they're giving you different constants. So if you think about graphing the lines, they're simply parallel lines, and they don't intersect. Okay, so that's telling you there's no solution. You've got an impossible state. 0 equals negative, or 0 equals 24. Never happens. So now, there's no solution. Over there, we got one solution, one ordered pair. And you can go off and try as hard as you want. You won't be able to find another ordered pair that'll satisfy both of those equations. This case, let's do exactly the same thing. And most of you notice that if I multiply one of them, the first one by 2 or the second one by a half, I get the same equation, right? So if I were to take 2 times equation 1 minus equation 2, what do I get? I get 0x plus 0y equals 0. What does that tell me?
Every value of x or y is
there. Yeah, so it doesn't matter. If I find an ordered pair that satisfies this, it will satisfy this. Which makes sense, because this one is just twice this. Everything's multiplied by 2. So if I find an x and y, a half and 1. A half and 1 works, right? So if I put a half in here and 1 in there, again, it works. These, if you think geometrically, if I graph them, what do I get? It's the same line, twice, right? So every point on one line is also on the other line, because it's really just the same line. So every solution to this line, so if you think in terms of the geometry, every point on this line is also on this line, so there are infinitely many solutions to this system of equations. All right? Now, what we have here is an example of each of the 3 possibilities. 3 is a wonderful number. It comes up all the time in linear algebra. We said there were 3 elementary operations. There's only 3. Those are the 3 things we're allowed to do. We can do them any number of times, but those are the only 3 things we're allowed to do to a system of equations. There are 3 possible solutions.
Well, it doesn't work for this one.
we either get a single solution, we get no solutions, or we get infinitely many solutions. Now, the geometric interpretation is not quite the same in the infinitely many solutions when we get beyond the plane. But it doesn't matter how many variables, how many equations, we will get one of those three situations. One solution, no solutions, or infinitely many solutions. And we're going to look at some cases later in higher dimensions. So, since we've got it here, what's the solution to this one?
X equals 1.5, which makes y 1/2.
So 3/2 minus 1/2 is 1, and 15/2 plus 1/2 is 16/2, which is 8. Okay? And I don't think there's any other, because if you look at the two equations, well, they're not quite the same as this, but they're similar. So you can do exactly the same procedure. Okay, so on the back side of that page, there's a few more like that, and then there's a small word problem that you might want to try. So I'm going to call it a night. So we'll see you again next week, hopefully.